So our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and verses 1 to 7. And if you've got your church Bibles in front of you, you'll find it on page 742. So Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 7. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy milk, wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So our second Bible reading this morning is taken from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 40, and can be found on page 1070 of the Pew Bibles. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, let's pray as we stand. Loving Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed mighty to save. Thank you that that is why he came, that is who he is. And we pray this morning as we come to your word and consider these sayings of Jesus, speak to us afresh from your word, speak in power by your spirit, change us and move us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, everyone, and if you have a Bible, you might like to turn back to chapter 6 of John, page 1070 in the Bible. And the first of these seven little sayings that we'll be considering together over these next few weeks. Here we are. If you want the details of the series, it's on this little blue card, which I've been waving around there on the table at the back, and it gives you all the headings and the readings each week there. One of the more surprising aspects of life in modern Britain when I used to live there is the amazing number of people that regularly visit food banks for the urgent help and essential supplies that they could get there. Some people going every week, some people going a couple of times a month. And I figured out, actually, it's not just in Britain. Figures tell us, even here in France, 2.5 million families are regularly using food banks here in France. It seems the cost of living crisis has sort of made it overseas. It's arrived here in France as well. And these places are just such a wonderful blessing to those who don't have enough to help them get by, aren't they? But having no food and going hungry is not a usual situation in the West. Back in the UK, some of our older folks there, they remembered the days of ration books after the Second World War, where you could just get a little bit of everything every week. It was sort of shared out. But those days are quite a long way behind us now, 80 years on. Most people, most of the time, we've got plenty, haven't we? We have what we need, and we've probably got more than we need most of the time. Our bodies are full. We've always got plenty to eat. Visit the supermarket and there's an amazing variety of things on offer and on show, plenty to choose from, whether it's at the meat counter or fruit and veg or whatever else, the fish and the seafood. Everything is there in abundance. It very rarely runs out. Everyone is completely satisfied from that point of view. Our bodies are full. But what about our souls? Our lives as a whole, people seem to struggle sometimes to be satisfied, don't they? We're in John's Gospel, as I said, for these next few weeks. And the big theme of this series is this question of identity. Who are you, Lord, is the question. And we'll be hearing from Jesus little by little as he sort of reveals more and more about himself as the weeks go by. As we've heard already this morning, Jesus is going to tell us, I am the bread of life. And he'll show us why that's an answer for people who are going through life and yet struggle to be satisfied with bodies that are full but lives which are somehow empty. I guess we probably notice this more in other people than ourselves, don't we? Especially people who are perhaps rich or famous, the kind of people we might watch on the TV or read about in a magazine. Sorts of people that seem to have such an amazing life. Perhaps you've seen it all over Instagram. You think, oh, wow, what would I give to swap places with them? But, you know, often in those stories, we hear that despite all of what they have, they're still not quite there. They're still struggling in some way. Even when they reach the top, their life and their lifestyle, it simply doesn't deliver to their expectations. A lot of years ago now, this young man, John McEnroe, was very famous. He's still around, of course, one of the most famous tennis players ever, now a highly paid pundit and commentator. He still has things to say about the world of tennis. Well, John McEnroe was ranked world number one for 5 years straight from 1980 all the way to 1984. But as he reflects on life at the top, he's written his biography. It's called Serious. You got to be serious, or whatever it was he used to say. You can't be serious, that's right. You can't be serious. That's his book. Reflecting at the end of those 5 amazing years when he'd basically won everything everywhere, he said this, I should have been on top of the world. But on October the 1st, 1984, I was standing in Portland Airport, waiting to board a flight to LA for a week off. And suddenly I thought, why am I so empty inside? Here is someone phenomenally successful. That year alone, he'd won 13 out of the 15 tournaments that he had entered. He had fame and he'd won the fortune. He was worshipped as a hero wherever he went. And yet here is someone asking himself, why am I so empty inside? Why is there a hole in here that all this stuff can't fill? He reached the top and it simply didn't deliver. I wonder if you've known or seen some of those sorts of frustrations in your own life. You know, you don't need to be a world champion to figure out that material things, money and status, they might be very nice to have, but deep down, really deep down, as we search ourselves, do they really deliver the satisfaction that we expect them to? Well, that's where John chapter 6 is going to help us this morning, I hope. It's page 1070 and our first heading, so much better than a sandwich, baguette, bacon roll, whatever, tuna sandwich. Who are they that we're talking about this morning? Well, we're talking about a crowd of people. At the beginning of chapter 6, if you just flip back a page there, the heading, Jesus feeds the 5,000. That happened just before this bit that we're in today. A crowd of ordinary folk, not much in common with each other, but one day they'd heard about Jesus and they went to see for themselves all about him. They got together up a mountain and it was getting late in the day and there was this thought, how are we going to find food enough for all these people? The day is moving on. The crowd have got hungry. And right before their eyes, Jesus performs this amazing miracle. He takes the packed lunch from a little boy, five small loaves, two small little fish, and then the miracle happens. Jesus simply divides it, and he divides it, and he divides it again, and again, and again, and he shares out this little lunch with 5,000 people, plus all the those women and children there, not included in the 5,000, until everyone had eaten pretty much as they could, full of food at least. But of course, with Jesus, that's only the start of things. At the end of their lunch, Jesus slipped away and across the Sea of Galilee. But it wasn't before the crowd, wasn't long before the crowd came looking for them, for him, and the next day they found him. That's where we begin in our reading. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. See, the crowd have turned up and Jesus knows exactly what they want. They've come to fill up their tummies again. They want another lunch, another free lunch. He'd fed them yesterday and here they are. Come on, Jesus. Same again, if that's okay with you. Do you see? They don't get it. They haven't understood who this Jesus is. They haven't understood the miracle. Jesus hasn't come down to heaven simply to feed people with food. Give them lunch every day. That's not what he's about at all. He's not come for food for the body. He's here to provide food for the soul. See what he says next, verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. When I was a teenager, I had a Saturday job when I was 16 years old at the co-op in Broadstairs. And at the co-op, I worked on the provisions counter department, stacking shelves with butter and cream and yogurt and all the rest, cleaning out the fridges. And part of my job at the end of the day was to get all the bits and pieces that ought to have really gone in the bin, but sell them to the customers at half price. Business is business after all. And so that's what we did. We stuck little labels on things, stuff that's going out of date, and it would be sold the next morning to people would rush to the place where we put it and they would grab it. But you see, that's the thing about fresh food, isn't it? It doesn't last. Even today, with all the extra additives and preservatives and everything, it still goes off in the end. It gets past its best. A few days later, it will be unsafe to eat. And after that, it'll be, you know, it's completely inedible. But that's all the crowd are interested in, what they can get for today. Bread and fish, food for the body, satisfaction for the here and now. But ultimately, that's always going to be food that spoils. And so what's Jesus going to do about this? Come to the one who is bread. Jesus is going to tell them there is more to life than food for the body. What they really need to satisfy them is food for their soul. Food that doesn't spoil, food that will last forever, food that will fill them up in a way that that other food never could. Fill them up in a way that success and status and material things will never will either. And then Jesus makes this staggering claim that we've already heard. Jesus tells them, I am that food. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. You see their problem, can't you? Fixated on feeding their bodies. But in the process, they've been starving their souls. And I have to say, it's exactly the same today, isn't it? As we look around in the world around us, we've got enough. But people, we inevitably want more, don't we? Although most of us earn a decent wage or have a decent living, we never say no to an increase or a pay rise. We're adept at climbing the ladder of social success or status, whether that's at work or school or just within our circle of friends. We're sort of born pleasure seekers, and we just want a bit more all the time. Take a wander of an evening down into Cannes, and you'll see it all. Fast cars, fine dining, the kind of experiences that only the most wealthy can afford, but it's all there. But as we've been hearing, deep down, none of these things will truly satisfy. Not to say that we won't enjoy them, of course we will. But we will enjoy them just in the moment. We'll be remembering them for a few days, a few weeks afterwards. We might even take some photos for the album and then go back and remember them later on. But in the end, those things have been and gone. They don't last. Back in 2022, Amanda and I, we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary, and we took a week away to the city of New York. And looking out from the top of the Empire State Building, there we were, feeling like we were on top of the world. And wonderful memories, such a great experience, so glad that we went. But, you know, life had to go on. A week later, we were back in England. I was back at work, and Amanda was as well. And, you know, there's chores to be done at home, bins needed emptying, grass needed cutting, car needed washing, all the things that life involves. And all we have left now is some lovely photos and some brilliant memories of the time that was. Many of us like to travel like that, don't we? Seeing new places. But all these experiences are amazing in the moment, but they simply don't last, not forever. Not in the long term. Back home, we're going to find, where's the next trip? Where should we go next? What's the new experience that we need to look for? I think this is probably where I got to in 1994. It was before I was a Christian. And life then, I was newly married. We'd got a new home to live in. I got a job that I loved. I got friends and family around me. But I'd also got this nagging feeling in my life with all the wonderful things that I'd already got. There must be more to life than this. You see, I'd been at work a few years by then and thinking, am I just going to carry on doing this for like another 50 years and then stop and retire and then that's it? Is that it? Is that really all that life is about? What am I missing? There must be something more. And that's actually when I got invited along to a local church near to where we lived. And on Sundays and in small groups, they told me all about this Jesus and the satisfaction that I could find in him. And actually by Christmas that year, I had become a follower of the Lord Jesus. I'd given my life to him, put my faith in him. I decided actually, yes, here is where satisfaction may be found. And I guess the question for us is, what am I feeding my soul? Or to put it another way, what am I putting into my spiritual fuel tank? What's going in? And is it having the benefit that it should be? Back in England, a lot of people I met then, it turned out what they were putting in was not much at all. In some cases, nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. When it came down to it, many people seemed to be just running on empty the whole time. They were busy living their lives, but spiritually speaking, were just nowhere. Nowhere at all, running on empty. And I say the sad thing, I saw it time and time again, people going through life feeding their bodies but starving their souls. And doing the job that I did then as a vicar in a little place, we did a lot of funerals every couple of weeks. I'd take a service for someone who had died and I'd go and visit the family. I'd always ask her what they had been up to, the person who had died. Most of the folks were well into retirement by then. And so the spouse, the other half, they'd tell me about their dearly departed, about their life and their career and all the things they'd achieved. Tell me about their family that they loved very much, the lovely home that we would meet in, usually a nice car on the drive outside. They'd got plenty of good things in their lives. Materially, they'd got everything they wanted. But when I asked the spouse about spiritual things or just simply about what they got up to day to day, week to week, it was not very much at all in most cases. He did a bit of gardening. He liked to play golf from time to time. Or they'd say, well, she'd do a jigsaw puzzle or a word search or read the paper. He'd walk to the paper shop on a Thursday. He'd pick up my magazine for me, she would say. And try as I might, try and sort of dig a bit deeper, that was all there was. Just sort of living, just existing, just sort of going through life. But spiritually speaking, absolutely nothing and nowhere. Life consisted of these kind of trivial pursuits, passing the time, passing the days, the years, the months, waiting for the inevitable, I suppose. But do you see what I mean? They were just living, just existing, devoid of anything meaningful, really. And the saddest thing of all, I guess, folks who are 70 or 80 or 90 years old, in all that time, they hadn't figured out what life was all about, that there was a better way, that they were feeding their bodies but starving their souls. Well, here we are back in Galilee. Jesus tells the folks that it doesn't have to be like that. He wants them to do something about it. What does he want them to do? Very simply, come to me and eat. Not physical food this time, not bread and fish, but spiritual food. Food for the soul. The food of a relationship with the Lord God himself that starts now and goes on forever into eternity. This is the only food that can truly satisfy. Jesus comes to believers and to unbelievers alike and he says, come to me, come and eat with me, enjoy me, trust me, believe in me, have me as your spiritual food. At verse 35 again, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. It's a very simple invitation, isn't it? Coming to Jesus like that will find true spiritual food. The very same Jesus who came from his Father to be this food for people. He came to earth to die on a cross, was gloriously raised and taken back to heaven as the in glory and as the judge of all, making it possible for people like you and me to now become his friends and follow him. Eternal life for all with faith to believe. It's a promise, says Jesus, a guarantee from God himself. Look at the end of the reading, verse number 40. Jesus says, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus leaves the crowd that day with a bit of thinking to do, doesn't he? Some decisions to make, perhaps. We read on, got a little angry and annoyed at what he was saying. Some were just perplexed by it all, didn't really understand, but actually some got it. Some understood. Some wanted to respond. And they asked Jesus how. Verse 28, they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus, what work must we do to get this spiritual food that you are offering to us? Great question, isn't it? And it appeals to our sense of, let's earn this for ourselves. Earn our place into God's kingdom. Do certain things, behave in certain ways. Keep certain rules, perhaps. which is what makes Jesus' answer quite so fascinating. No work, says Jesus, just believe. Just believe. Believe that I am who I claim to be. Believe that I'm the only Son of the Father sent from heaven. Believe that I am this true bread come down from heaven, that spiritual food for hungry souls. Believe that I can fill that hunger in your life. That's all. Look to the Son and believe. I wonder what you make of all of this morning, all this talk of spiritual hunger, all this about full bodies and empty lives. Does it ring true to you? Perhaps you've known a time in your past where this was true for you. Have you known these things in your experience, striving after those material things and then discovering for yourself it doesn't really work? It hasn't really satisfied. I've reached the top. Am I fulfilled? As we think about these things, can I urge you, just don't let these things just drift away. If the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, then please speak to him about it. You could speak to me about it, if that would be helpful too. This is an amazing offer, a wonderful invitation from Jesus. No, come to me and eat. Have me as your spiritual food, that sense of satisfaction. Jesus says these things are of eternal importance because those who find Jesus in this way are those who he will raise up at the last day. And so these are really important things. We should dwell upon them deeply together. Over these next weeks, we'll hear Jesus say more and more about himself as he tells us in the next I Ams a bit more about who he is. And if you're here and this morning and you've realized, actually, I'm feeling some of this hunger in my own life, well, I'd like to offer you a simple meal. A simple gift, really. It doesn't look very much. It's just a copy of John's Gospel. If you don't have a Bible at home and you'd like just a copy of John, then there are a few copies of this on the table at the back there. Just pick one up as you leave this morning. I'll be lurking around over there. We can find one for you if that would be helpful. And just read a little bit every day. Read about this man who claims these amazing things, the God-man from heaven who says, "I am the bread of life." We've been asking, haven't we, who are you, Lord? Who are you? And Jesus says, "I am this bread." Whoever you are, if you're hungry, don't stay hungry this morning. Jesus comes to us as vital food for empty souls. "I am the bread of life. Come to me and eat." Let me pray for us today. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to be that food which lasts forever, that spiritual food that can meet our spiritual hunger and our spiritual needs. And we pray for one another this morning. Please help us come always and often to Jesus, to come to him and eat with him, to let him be that spiritual nourishment that we need in our lives day by day. I pray for any here who are still wondering about Jesus, who are still thinking about whether this is right for them. I pray, Lord, that you would help them see who Jesus is and give them the faith to believe and to come in his name. Amen.